Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. This is nearly heresy, but I did have a professor in seminary who was the editor of the Reader's Digest condensed version of the Bible, so I think I'm authorized to do this. I'm going to shorten our reading from Ezekiel as well as the reading from John 12. If you want to find either of those readings, page 865 for Ezekiel and 1078 for John 12. Therefore say to the Israelites, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. And John 12, now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew, and Philip in turn told Jesus, and Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And the very last verse of the reading, Father, glorify your name. C.S. Lewis's classic Mere Christianity is a favorite of mine. It has an enlightening paragraph on prayer. And this Sunday, we begin a series of sermons on the Lord's Prayer. So we're looking at the very first stanza, Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name. Here's what Lewis wrote about prayer. An ordinary, simple Christian kneels down to say his prayers. He's trying to get in touch with God. But if he is a Christian, he knows that what is prompting him to pray is also God. God, so to speak, inside him. But he also knows that all the real knowledge of God comes through Christ, the man who was God, that Christ is standing beside him, helping him to pray, praying for him. In a recent study, Barna Research says that prayer is the most common faith practice among American adults. But it's also very complex. Many Americans have different forms, different types of prayers that they offer, and some pray to conflicting deities, not always to the same God. For we Christians, our Lord gave us fairly explicit instructions regarding prayer. This then is how you should pray. Jesus says to his disciples, he already told them how not to pray, as I mentioned to the children earlier, like the hypocrites or on street corners or babbling like pagans. But he begins with this one simple sentence, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The idea of God as a father comes from the history of Israel, their deliverance from Egyptian captivity. And whereas the prophet Hosea says, out of Egypt I have called my son, the nation of Israel, and God is their father. Here too, Jesus reminds us to address God as Father, and by addressing our prayers to God as Father, we are reminded that he is a heavenly parent who is on our side, who is looking out for us, who is providing for our needs, who is with us always. The first petition of the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be your name, is really asking God to live up to God's own reputation, that God would make good on his promises. The way God's name is made holy is by restoring what has been ruined, renovating the rundown, resettling the refugees, embracing those in exile. And then we get a second window of insight that comes from John 12, where Jesus, in his public ministry, was kind of winding down. He had entered the city to a jubilant crowd on what we call Palm Sunday, but the Lord refused to accept the role of a political leader as they proclaimed him king. A group of God-fearing Gentiles come to worship, and they are curious visitors, but they also are doing more than just investigating Jesus. They want to know him. They want to see him. They want to believe in him. Jesus announces that by his suffering and death, he will glorify the Father's name, or as he already taught his disciples, he will hallow the name of his Father. So the summons to be holy as God is holy is not an invitation out of the world, but into the world, into a life of service. The way Jesus hallowed God's name was simply this: to obey what his Father asked of him, to fulfill the demands of love and justice, to commit his life to doing what the Father had sent him to do. Kyle David Bennett has a book titled Practices of Love, Spiritual Disciplines for the Life of the World. He's a professor of philosophy and director of spirituality and leadership at Caldwell University in New Jersey. And he is eager to show believers what it looks like to follow Jesus on the ground. And he argues that spiritual disciplines like prayer are not really practiced for our benefit. They're not for us. Rather, they are practiced for others. They are practiced to help others. They are seen as acts of love towards one's neighbor, bringing life and health and vitality. And Jesus, of course, has told his disciples that's exactly how it works. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Dying to self in a relationship with Christ means the Christian life is a life of service. If we want to do, as Jesus told his disciples to do in the prayer, to hallow the name of the Father, to honor his name, to glorify his name, we too will step up and serve as Jesus served. Robert Coleman, in his little book, Written in Blood, tells the story of a little boy whose sister needed a blood transfusion. Some of you have heard this story before. The doctor explained that she had the same disease the boy had recovered from 2 years earlier, and since he had overcome the illness, a transfusion from someone who had conquered the disease was required, and the two children were ideal matches for blood donation. "Would you give your blood to your sister Mary?" the doctor asked. Johnny hesitated a little bit, then he smiled, said, "Sure, for my sister." Soon the two children were wheeled into the hospital room, Mary pale and thin, Johnny robust and healthy. Neither of them spoke, but when their eyes met, they both smiled. As the nurse inserted the needle into his arm, Johnny's smile faded. He watched the blood flow through the tube into his sister's, and with the ordeal almost over, his shaky voice broke the silence, asking, "Doctor, when do I die?" If we want to hallow the name of our Father, if we want to glorify the name of God, we will offer our lives in service to Jesus, our Lord, and in Christian love for others. It's the only way. Glory be to God the Father, Jesus the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.